Hello and welcome to A Skeptic's Guide to Conspiracy, the podcast that examines conspiracy theory, conspiracy fact, and those who promote these theories. I will be your host, Mike Bowler, as we take a look at conspiracy in the news for the week ending July 29th, 2018. And it was a busy week. Quite a few stories. Actually, I've actually decided about half of the stories that I had found. I think they've been repeaters, or at least kind of like a double up on many of the stories I'll be talking about this week. So let's start off with a Christian Right Radio Network promotes demonic virtual reality Bigfoot and UFO conspiracy theory. Or American Family Radio warns listeners of satanic conspiracy behind Bigfoot. And this is a couple stories. And put simply, the reason why we can't see Bigfoot, because it's always at night, or when they do get a photo of Bigfoot, that it's fuzzy, it's because it's a demonic projection into our, into our dimension, or it is a part of a government project, Project Bluebeam. But certainly, this is a story that comes from the Family Research Council fellow Tim Daly had talked to Religious Right host Janet Mefford about this reality, of course, to him, that Bigfoot, UFOs, pretty much all these cryptids are actually demons that have projected themselves into our reality, into our dimension. I'll let it go at that, because I don't, how can you answer something like that other than I don't believe in demons, or there's a supernatural. So I think these guys are trying to make up something to scare their listeners. Now, the next story, this is from a op-ed piece from Op-Ed News. No doubt about it, the deep state is real, and Trump is its latest tool. Now, I've been talking about the deep state, this QAnon, there's all this hubbub about Trump being the victim of a shadow government, deep state operatives that are trying to undermine his presidency, try to destroy his credibility, you name it. It's all about Trump being picked on by the left, the center, whoever they feel like pointing their fingers at. But here we've got a guy. The writer is John Whitehead, who is a quite a prolific writer on the police state, and he has taken on the deep state, and of course trying to link the deep state to the police state, or to the military-industrial complex, or the surveillance state complex. It does exist, and Trump, far from being its sworn enemy, is its latest tool. Apparently, Trump is part of this QAnon. He is actually a unwitting participant. So, and not only he's a victim, but he's also the perpetrator. This is a wonderful contradiction. I don't see any, I'm reading this article. Actually, it's a bit annoying since I don't pay for this site, because this is the Op-Ed News is actually seems to be an outlet for the whoever can put out an article, I guess, get posted, who writes an op-ed, and they can't get it in a mainstream news source. They have to come here to spread their crazy little theories and their conspiracies and so on. And I've read quite a bit of Whitehead's work. And of course, he believes that everything that we're living in a deep, total police state, that we're being watched 24/7, cameras all over the place, and the police are using satellites, and it's total nutso stuff. But of course, again, as many conspiracy theorists like to do, is link real stories to their narrative. That is, yes, there are people being surveyed. They're, you know, part of criminal investigations, as we are made well aware by the Snowden revelations that our messages are being examined without warrant, without any oversight or very little oversight. I was actually I just finished the Comey book, and when that, even before Snowden made his revelations, they were arguing over whether this surveillance was legal. Comey, of course, said this wasn't legal. Apparently, George W. Bush was trying to keep it alive. His lawyers had written up drafts that were, at least according to Comey, was dubious at best. And, of course, the fight over whether one could tap at will telephones, email, electronic communications, and so on. So this isn't necessarily something out of the blue. Certainly there are surveillance going on. The problem is, according to Whitehead, is so prevalent that everything, if it's something electronic, it's surveying you for some reason. That I don't agree with. My next story. Conspiracy theorists allege celebrities with black mark on their left eye are all part of the Illuminati. Put simply, there is a conspiracy theory. Oddly enough, I can't find anyone who is owning up to creating this theory. It does seem to be, it does pop up on Snopes as being fake. But someone is promoting the idea that these celebrities, these political figures, so on, who look like they have a black eye, their left eye, apparently, though the photos they use shows one or the other eye, and doesn't seem to matter what eye you use, but the story seems to point to left eye for some reason. Why that's significant, I don't know, nor does anyone wants to elaborate on. But according to the article refers to a writer, an author, Sherry Schreiner, who had authored the book Interview with the Devil, has previously claimed that there is a hidden link between these black eyes and soul scalping. Now, I've heard of soul scraping or soul cooking, which has been part of the Pizzagate, the pedophile ring conspiracy, and that somehow this black eye slash there's supposed to be some cuts involved. And that somehow this is their indication they sold their soul to the devil, and of course the Illuminati. The devil is the Illuminati in human form. So, again, a interesting, crazy story. I can't really make any real comments on that, but they're stretching. It's definitely another stretch into trying to create a narrative about these people who are supposedly deep state or Illuminati or, you know, this hidden cabal, this shadow government, whatever those terms you want to use. And this is, of course, the clues that you need to look at to identify who's who. Then there's a neat article from the Southern Poverty Law Center, Unraveling Unite the Right Conspiracy Theories. And certainly, I think I've talked about this quite a bit, so I'm not going to go into the particular conspiracies. A lot of it involves the globalists and George Soros. There's been, of course, Pizzagate isn't linked to this. The Alex Jones has joined in mostly to keep the pedophile ring story going. Of course, again, it fits nicely into his worldview of a cabal run by George Soros and globalists to take over the world. So there's a number of these stories, and of course, everybody, many of the the radical right has been jumping in on this. And really, the article, and I'm going to put a link to this article in the show notes, because it's a much better take of what's going on with this Unite the Right conspiracy theories, or the Unite the Right and the conspiracy theories that they believe in. Then there's a dubious conspiracy theory links Putin's daughter to Russia-Trump collusion. Again, this comes out of Snopes. It's a apparently a 4chan. Again, the anonymous people are claiming that one of Vladimir Putin's children are somehow linked to a bank who has been funding Trump and the possibility of collusion in the DNC hacking and the attack on the 2016 elections. And this is based on looking at DNS files, logs, where certain servers had been linking between Trump's own servers and this bank server and the Russian government servers. Now, there might be something to that. The problem is this. If you look at the latest I talked about last week, the 12 indictments and the kind of the fallout of those 12 indictments, other people are being linked into this hacking of the U.S. election, in a sense, and that this seems to be trying to add or trying to create a false connection to between the hackers and Putin. We know that the hack happened. We know who did it. The indictments have went out. Now there are people speculating about the Russian agents and are there connections to Vladimir Putin. This seems to be one of those attempts. It may end up being true, but I think it's highly doubtful because, first of all, there is no evidence of what they're claiming in this because it does come through 4chan and I have yet to see any real positive information about any type of communications between these various servers that they reference in this particular conspiracy. So I'm going to kind of leave it at that. That might be an ongoing story, but we'll wait and see. And of course, I want to close out with Alex Jones. I haven't talked about this guy in a little while. Maybe a couple weeks, but he's now popped up amongst there's been a handful of things. I actually missed him trying. I forget if I mentioned that he's trying to dismiss some of the cases against him. I talked about it last week about him having some of the charges against him dismissed. Because he's a journalist, not a play actor. He's not a performance artist. He's a journalist. So, yeah, again, Jones, he'll claim to be something. He makes his claims that he's this when it's convenient and it's that when it's convenient. So when he's trying to keep custody of his children or trying to get a favorable ruling from a judge in his divorce case. Yes, he's a play actor. He's a performance artist. But when he gets sued by the Sandy Hook victims who have been harassed constantly by not necessarily Jones, though his reporting has been the guy's a monster. So let's just leave it at that. He's a monster. He has no soul. He has no empathy for the families who lost life. It's just as long as he can get his story out. And of course, he's right and everyone's wrong. And because of that, that makes him a journalist and he's protected by the First Amendment. Of course, with that attitude, YouTube issues a warning to InfoWars founder Alex Jones and takes down 4 videos. Apparently, Jones got his first strike again. He's been on first strike for a while for putting out hate videos, mostly that had related to Sandy Hook. And apparently, there's an issue with Facebook where they won't block InfoWars, but they will block Alex Jones. Now, Alex Jones is InfoWars. InfoWars is Alex Jones, even though technically InfoWars is a collaborative effort, though it's led by Alex Jones. Everything that goes out on InfoWars is Alex Jones. It's just that he hires various, I don't know if they're sycophant. Certainly people who agree with him, you'll hire them. And as long as they toe the Alex Jones line, and I do mean that, not the InfoWars line, the Alex Jones line, because this is the way he's operated ever since he first appeared on public access TV almost 20 years ago, almost 30 years ago. As long as you report or write what Alex Jones wants you to write, then you're golden. You can write, you can have a long career with Alex Jones, but if you disagree with him, you're done. You're gone. And you're no longer even considered a person. So with that, I think I'm pretty much at the end of the stories, except I didn't quite catch the Blood Moon lunar eclipse conspiracies. Of course, I didn't really want to go into the Blood Moon, the lunar eclipse stuff, other than there is some conspiracies associated with it. It's, again, these conspiracies have to do with the flat Earth. It didn't really have to do with any type of end times, though I'm pretty sure there's probably some end time stuff out there. But in this case, the Blood Moon proves that the Earth is flat. I'm not sure how they do that. They seem to claim that this Blood Moon lunar eclipse may not necessarily be a natural occurring thing. It's created by NASA they somehow project, because again, I think probably it seems like, if I remember correctly, like the moon isn't the distance that NASA and we send the moon missions and so on, but really that the moon is really close, like something like 30 or 50 miles from Earth, which makes it easier to project a red light. And of course, there's that. So that the flat earthers claim that seeing this eclipse is faked by NASA. Of course, kind of forgetting that NASA's not that old, probably, I don't know, barely 60, 70 years. And of course, for thousands of years, people have seen these lunar eclipses, the moon turning red and so on. But that doesn't matter. It's all NASA trying to hide the truth. And that's pretty much it for stories. There was a story about, looks like a conservative outlet was looking at the Steele dossier. This is supposed to be the intelligence that was taken on Donald Trump that came out of Russia, or what Trump was doing in Russia. This is the prostitutes peeing on Trump's bed, stuff like that. But according to, this comes out of the National Review, which is a known conservative outlet, that the FBI had relied on the Steele dossier in its attempt to uncover Russian hacking. And they really don't, the article is, again, it just seems like a blind attempt to pin or place the blame on Democrats or liberals who are going after Trump by using, of course, a problem. I think that it sounds like what they're trying to do is help a lawyer out, because this article, which doesn't seem to be written by a lawyer or anyone with a real legal expertise. They may be kind of like myself, who tries to understand the law, but we don't practice. I'm not a practicing lawyer. I'll never have been, never will be. You don't want to take legal advice from me. And certainly a journalist is probably about in the same boat, unless they took some, or may have been pre-law or had taken a few law courses, maybe understand it pretty decent. And of course, that's what it sounds like, that because that since this is unverified information, of course, this is supposed to be straight from. Well, it's a the dossier is basically hearsay. This is coming from a third party being relayed by a not so much someone who did the investigation, but had just collected this information to pass it on to the Democrats. What they would do with it afterwards was up to the Democrats. So it's probably, it's possible that there may be some questions as to the veracity of, or at least the, I don't know, I don't know what it is. Is it possible that this information from the Steele dossier that was used to base on, to go after or to get the secret warrants to observe certain people, or at least go into a direction into what Trump and his people were doing in Russia, what might have been happening. It sounds like something that while the government will do, you know, if they got credible information or they feel it's credible enough to go after a wiretap or whatever, more than likely, though, this could create problems for the prosecutor since the FBI is at this time, it's the FBI doing an investigation and hasn't, or it is actually, it is starting to get to the prosecution stage where the indictments come down, so on. So the FBI will collect whatever information it can. Now the attorney general now has to decide how to proceed using the information they have and the possibility that a sharp defense lawyer may tear these secret warrants, the FISTA warrants, it could cause problems in the prosecution of this case. So that's really what is going on. Of course, being a conservative outlet, they're going to play it up as much as possible. Perhaps it is to get the defense lawyers realizing that there may be a problem, or there is something to look at on their end, or just trying to play lawyer and try to undermine the FBI / attorney general. So I don't know. I really don't know what's going to go on there, how far that's going to go. So let's kind of keep an eye. I've been keeping an eye on it. So we'll see what happens. So that's what I have for this week. No real announcements. I've been kind of behind on getting the email sorted out. So, and there's been some weirdness on the site. I've been trying to, I've been trying to get the player that you could play the show right from your phone on the homepage. You have to actually jump into the article to get to the player. I think that's because there's a WordPress app creator or something like that. I gotta find a good mobile phone theme for WordPress. Maybe that'll help things out. But I've been kind of busy. Work is still pretty much nuts. So we'll just leave it at that. I was on Beyond the Trailer Park with Deborah McTaggart and the as the Heretic Woman, and we had kind of a fun time talking atheism and a little bit about conspiracies and so on. So might be worth checking out. So I'll have a link for that. And this is actually episode 100. This is my 100th show. I'd like to thank everyone for listening, sticking with me, all the positive response I've got. I haven't gotten any real negative, which is kind of disappointing. I figured I'd be the target of all sorts of hate messages, so we'll see. Give it time, I guess. I mean, but anyhow, I'd like to thank everyone for sticking with the show. I do appreciate everyone listening, and hopefully this will go on for another 100 episodes. So with that said, I'd like to thank you for listening. This was episode 100, recorded July 29th, 2018. Thank you, and good night.